Good morning. St. Paul wrote to Titus what we heard a few minutes ago. Titus, my son, the saying is sure. I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. Let our people learn to apply themselves to good deeds so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. Some key words there. The word profitable. These are good and profitable. The deeds, the good works. And they keep us from having faith that is unfruitful. Profitable, preventing us from having a faith that is unfruitful, that does not produce fruit. Like a farmer who works very hard cultivating his land and waiting for the fruit of his labors. Or a scientist who looks for the results of her experiments. So also God looks to see the results of our faith, the fruit of our faith. Are we working our faith or only mouthing it? Contrary to what a lot of haters of Christianity say, Paul did not invent Christianity. Paul did not invent a new religion. He simply taught what Jesus Christ taught and what Jesus Christ lived. Because that's the important thing about Jesus. It's not just what he lived, what he taught, but also what he lived, what he showed us by his actual life, including his death and resurrection. Jesus was the light of the world. That's what he called himself. But he said to his apostles today in the gospel reading, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He is the light of the world, but he tells his disciples, his followers, not just of that first generation, but of all generations, you are the light of the world. And he says that men may see your good works. There's that same Greek word, the kala erga, exactly the same words as St. Paul used in his letter to Titus. Good deeds, good works, in both our readings today. So how can it be possible for people who claim to glorify God or to believe in God, to believe in Jesus Christ, if they don't do good deeds? And how can other people, the ones out there, the ones so-called unbelievers, the ones who say none as their religion, how can they glorify God? How can they come to God if they don't see those good deeds, those good works in us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ? I'll leave that question for you to ponder. I don't want to talk about it other things, other times. But we hear about good deeds and good works today. There has been so much wasted effort, so much wasted energy over the centuries in debating this whole issue of good works and good deeds. Protestants are especially obsessed with this idea, and they keep on hitting it over the head that we are not saved by good works, we are not saved by what we do, but by faith alone, faith alone, faith alone. Sorry, but faith does not exist alone. We hear that today from Paul, we hear it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You want to have faith alone? Have faith alone. Your business. But don't argue with me, because I have the scripture behind me. I have both St. Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. To be obsessed with this idea of faith alone becomes a religion that's me, me, me. Me, me and my salvation. And to be perfectly honest and to be fair to the Protestants, we have that problem too in the Orthodox Church. Because most Orthodox Christians, all they care about is me, me. And we have another word for it. The Protestants talk about faith alone. We have another word that we like to talk about, which is also all about me, me, me. And that word, of course, is theosis. And we love that word. Become deified. Become partakers of the divine nature. We call it theosis. So we buy books. The Protestants buy books that tell them how to be saved by faith alone. We buy books that tell us how to have theosis. Me, me, me. Egotistical faith, egotistical religion. But what does Jesus say today? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our works, what we do, what we read, what we learn, what we worship, what we participate in the sacraments are not for me, for us, are not meant to glorify us individually. They are meant to glorify God. And they do this by guiding others to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here to glorify God. In case nobody has ever told you that before, we are here to glorify God. When do we glorify God? When he allegedly, in our minds, answers our prayers? Is that all that there is? Is that all that there is? A transactional agreement? I will glorify you, God, if you give me what I ask for. And of course, silently, when we say that prayer, silently, we also add a qualification, a footnote. And we say, but of course, I'll glorify you for 10 hours, maybe 10 minutes, maybe. But not much longer. After all, I'm busy. I have other things to do. So I'll glorify you, God, but don't expect me to do longer than 10 minutes. How sad this transactional religion is. And yet, here's the mystery and the beauty of it all. And what should humble us is that God will still love you. Will still love you by the incomprehensible algebra of divine love and divine condescension, the kenosis. You like transactional faith? How's this for transactional? God will take the 10 minutes you give him to glorify him. and he will give you an eternity of glorified existence in an unimaginable state of being. Please, please do not quote me. I'm not telling you that that's all you should do, just glorify God for 10 minutes. I am just saying, for me, that's an abomination. When you can only offer God 10 minutes. But I am not God. I'm just a human being. And I think in terms of abominations. I'm not God. So what I'm saying to you, not by human standards, not by my standards, but by his standards. Because he's infinitely more compassionate, more loving than I will ever be or you will ever be. He will even take those 10 minutes. If that's all you can scrounge in your existence, he'll take it. He'll take it. And he'll still give you an eternity. And Christ is not telling us to do something when he tells us to glorify God. He's not telling us to do something he did not do. Because Christ himself lived on earth to glorify his Father. And he said so in chapter 17 of John, that long chapter that people miss on Holy Thursday night because they time their arrival in church to miss that long reading. Ah, come on, you know they do that. People do that. But what does he say in that chapter 17 of John? He's actually praying to God the Father. And he says to the Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. The Son of God from all eternity glorifies the Father in the shared divine nature of the Trinity. But when the Son of God became human and pitched his tent among us for a while, but certainly much longer than 10 minutes, he had a work to finish. He pitched his tent among us. He became incarnate because he had a job to do. And he finished that job. And by finishing that job, he brought glory to his Father, to the Father. The work that Jesus came to do was to open the gates of heaven and eternal life to all human beings. Listen to what else Jesus prayed in that chapter 17 of John. Listen. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing Savior we have. We have a God who shares everything, including the glory that belongs to God alone. Our God is not a me God. Our Savior is not a me Messiah. But one who empties himself of the glory that is his, in order to receive it again from God the Father after he finishes his job on earth for us ungrateful ones. And then He shares it with us. He shares it with us. The Father is not a me-me God. The Son is not a me-me God. The Holy Spirit is not a me-me God. Selfishly enjoying the infinite treasury of blessings, but opening them to us. And the only prayer in the Orthodox Church that we speak directly to the Heavenly Spirit, we say, O Heavenly King, O Comforter, Spirit of Truth, present everywhere and filling all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us. That treasury of blessings that is the Holy Spirit, we invite and say, come and abide in us, so that those blessings, that treasury of blessings, which is just another name for glory, will be in us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, glory to you. Glory to you for sharing your glory with us, for willing to share your glory with us. Everything that God does is giving, giving, giving. Nothing for me, me, me. God is all about giving. But modern Christianity has become a me, me, me religion. We don't honor God except through lip service. We don't obey God's commandments, contrary to what Jesus told us in today's gospel. We don't obey God's commandments, except when maybe they don't cost us anything. St. Maximus the Confessor, a great saint of the 6th century, he wrote in his responses to Thalassios, whoever does not keep the divine commandments of the faith has a faith that is blind. For if the commandments of the Lord are light, it is obvious that whoever does not keep the commandments is without the divine light and bears the mere but not real name of faith. Good works from St. Maximus. Good works to challenge us, to inspire something in us. Yes, God is merciful. God is compassionate, infinitely compassionate. But let us do our part in the divine algebra, in the divine equation of compassion. Let's do our part. Listen to St. Maximus and not listen to me. Well, you can listen to me too, because I'm quoting St. Maximus. Let us listen to our Lord and the Apostle Paul today and to St. Maximus. Let us not be Orthodox Christians in name only. Let our light so shine before men and women that maybe they might come to give glory to God the Father and to His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit open to us the treasury of God's blessings to keep our spirits thirsty for God's glory in this world and in the world to come. Amen.